Got a very important midnight hour tonight. It's not Wilson Pickett. It is Donald Trump. And he is scheduled to impose tariffs on China. To talk about that, we have Brewer Stone. He's a partner with Influence Partners, an iBank in San Francisco. Welcome to our show, Brewer. One of the main questions I have is a little off topic, or shall we say a little ahead of the topic, and that is, do you think that China will end up using currency manipulation as a weapon in the upcoming trade war?
I don't see that as being a particularly important part of their strategy. They obviously have the capacity to do that within certain bands, but I don't see that as central to their strategy, no.
Brewer, now, as someone that speaks fluent Chinese, you lived in India, you lived in China, can you give us some perspective on how leaders and even business people in, let's say, China and India view what is going on in the United States and our debate and confrontational attitude about trade?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I think in China, they're unfortunately they're using what's been going on and kind of the way in which our debates have been evolving as a way to advocate the strength of their system and their ability to have a unified face in front of, you know, challenges from abroad. I think, you know, as an example of that, you know, when all this stuff started coming out about cutting off access to certain U.S. technologies and so on, the reaction internally was to say, okay, now we've really got to focus on doing this ourselves and building up our own ability to compete in these various industries where in the past we may have been more willing to work in partnership with the U.S.
That's interesting because, you know, one of the intellectual property exchanges is one of the main concerns of the United States. What do you see changing about that if this so-called trade war continues?
Well, I think that you know, I think the core thing to understand is that you know, we've had obviously this concern about intellectual property going to China for years, and you know, every company that operates there has puts good thought into how to protect their intellectual property, and we want to, obviously it's in every company's interest to police that. Nobody wants to be losing their property and losing market opportunities as a result of that. I mean, this is something that you need to approach very carefully. And China has, I think, you know, I think there is clear evidence that in the past they've had a very aggressive industrial policy. I remember back in the day going to visit ZTE, which, as you know, has been in the news of late, and being told, you know, very openly about the, you know, 5,000 or so engineers that they had hired, many of them professors from universities, and being shown around at some of the centers that they were working in, some of the research centers, and actually seeing them working on Cisco boxes, trying to reverse engineer how they were operating. And I think that's, you know, that is the history here. But, you know, innovation is about, you know, innovation is not a static thing. It is constantly moving. And China, what's happened is that, you know, having spent a long period of time benefiting from and learning from, you know, copying a lot of things in the U.S. And of course, we all well know the story about, you know, Baidu being developed as the Google of China, and, you know, other companies, you know, obviously a company called RenRen, or you might say now WeChat, being more of a Facebook, Instagram style messenger platform, you know, for China. But what's happened is that, you know, really that we've moved beyond that, and China has become so competitive internally that now their companies are innovating very aggressively, particularly in consumer-facing business models. And so that's something we have to be aware of because, you know, innovation doesn't stand still. It keeps moving.
Brewer, as someone that advises venture capital as well as emerging technology companies as well as private equity investors, do you find that the conversation about investments in Chinese companies or companies that use Chinese technology in their products, is that of any concern for investors?
So, look, I mean, I think most people in the Valley, I mean, look, how you view this issue at core comes down to whether you view China as more of a market opportunity and a source of capital, you know, sort of the positive side of things, or you view China primarily as a potential long-term strategic threat. And, you know, so that's the premise we all start from. A lot of people in the Valley have, you know, built up a lot of relationships. There's been a huge amount of back and forth among technology executives and technologists between the U.S. and China over many years. A lot of relationships built up. And so people tend to view, you know, the relationship with China as more one of market opportunity and access to capital. You know, now we've got this Trump overlay where he's coming in and you know, and highlighting for everybody the, you know, the national security concerns here. And look, these are legitimate concerns. And I think anybody who's been close to China for many years knows, as I said, they've had an aggressive industrial policy. And we need to be sort of thoughtfully tough. I think the question is, how do we preserve our, you know, kind of the core elements of our strength, which is right. our free market system, while at the same time being, you know, very attentive to China's activities. And really, in right. the end, when you look at the specifics of Firma and the like, it comes down to how do you define national security interests.
We got to leave it there. Thanks very much. Brewer Stone, partner, Influence Partners in San Francisco.